coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Love Letters, a Bible study on the epistles with Pastor Arno Bessel of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon.
Welcome to the Bible study on the letter of Jude. Certain books of the Bible are frequently read, studied, and quoted, and as a result, they are well known. This is not the case of the letter of Jude. It is easily overlooked. Yet Jude contains important instruction that always has applied to Christians. Jude helps to distinguish between false teachers and wounded believers who are struggling with doubt and need fellow Christians to encourage them. There is nothing in the letter that indicates the date when it was written. However, it is believed that it could have been composed around the year AD 65. The recipients are not clearly indicated either. The description of the recipients is very general, so it is believed the letter was sent to all Christians of that time. For this reason, Jude is considered a general letter. What was the purpose of Jude writing this letter? Although Jude was very eager to write to his readers about salvation, he felt that he must instead warn them about certain immoral men circulating among them who were perverting the grace of God. Apparently, these false teachers were trying to convince believers that being saved by grace gave them license to sin because their sins would no longer be held against them. Jude warned his readers to be on guard against such men and to oppose their perverted teaching. Jude assured the readers that they had been called and loved by God as well as kept by Jesus Christ. The letter of Jude is very similar in its content to sections of 2 Peter. Biblical scholars, including Martin Luther, have maintained that Jude could have extracted or copied from 2 Peter's letter. Now we turn to the text of Jude as such. Verses 1 and 2 read as follows. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. The author identifies himself as Jude, brother of James. Of those named Jude in the New Testament, the ones most likely to be the author of this letter are Judas the Apostle, not Judas Iscariot, or Judas the brother of the Lord. The author does not claim to be an apostle and even seems to separate himself from the apostles. Furthermore, he describes himself as a brother of James. Usually a person in Jude's day would describe himself as someone's son rather than as someone's brother. The reason for the exception here may have been the importance James had in the church at Jerusalem. James was a recognized leader in the church and is believed to have been a son of Mary and Joseph. If that is the case, then Jude would have been a half-brother of Jesus. However, we don't know for sure who the author Jude was. Anyway, he identifies himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. The title servant was common among the early Christians, especially applied to church leaders. Jude served his Lord Jesus Christ, and so we believers also serve our Lord and Savior. The recipients of Jude's letter are those who are called, beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. God Holy Spirit calls people to faith in Jesus Christ and to service. They are beloved in God the Father. They are unconditionally loved by God so much so that He desires their eternal salvation. At the same time, those who are called are also kept for Jesus Christ. Christ, who holds the whole universe together, will see that God's children are kept in the faith and reach their eternal inheritance. Jude wishes that mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to his readers. Mercy and peace was a common Jewish greeting. Love was also added to make the greeting clearly Christian. After the opening words, Jude goes to the core of his letter. He writes in verses 3 to 7, "Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire." Jude addresses the recipients of his letter as "beloved." This expresses the idea of unconditional and unending love from God to the believer in Christ. The original intention of Jude was to write to his readers about their common salvation. But he was compelled instead to write a call to battle for truth because of the infiltration of false teachers among the believers. The faith originally grounded in the apostles' teachings was in jeopardy. So Jude wanted to make sure his readers would remain in the true faith. False teachers made cleverly their way into the midst of Christians. Jude describes these people repeatedly as ungodly. They profess to follow God, but actually deny Him in their words and deeds. Jude says that the false teachers pervert the grace of our God into sensuality. They assumed that salvation by grace gave them the right to sin without restraint, either because God in His grace would freely forgive all their sins, or because sin, by contrast, would magnify the grace of God. So the false teachers deny Jesus Christ. Jude condemned the activities of the ungodly and kindly encouraged the believers to remain in the faith. Jude quotes three Old Testament examples of God's judgment on the rebellious and unbelieving. The first example concerns unbelieving Israelites. Interesting to note, Jude confesses the existence of Jesus in Old Testament times. He says that Jesus delivered Israel from slavery in Egypt and afterwards destroyed those who did not believe. The unfaithful Israelites died in the wilderness and did not reach the promised land. Likewise, Christ's judgment will prevent unbelievers from reaching heaven. The second example of God's judgment concerns the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling. This must have happened before the fall of Adam and Eve. A number of angels created wholly by God refused to maintain their assignments and thus became the devil and his angels. God's wrath fell upon them, and God has kept them in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. These fallen angels are doomed to hell, where the light of Christ does not go. The third example of God's judgment concerns Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities. The inhabitants of those cities are known for their sexual immorality and perversion. Consequently, they have been severely punished with destruction. The cities were burned, but the people also went to everlasting punishment. These examples stand as warnings for believers of all times. Jude continues to write in verses 8 to 15. Yet in like manner these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain, and abandoned themselves to the sake of gain to Balaam's error, and perished in Korah's rebellion. These are hidden reefs at your law feast, as they feast with you without fear, shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds, swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting up the foam of their own shame, wandering stars, for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his holy ones, to execute judgment on all, and to convict all the ungodly of their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loud-mouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage." In these verses, Jude uses a series of comparisons to illustrate the corruption of the ungodly. He cites two examples of popular Jewish legend against them. Ungodly false teachers rely on their dreams, engage in immoral behavior, reject authority, and blaspheme angels and God's messengers. Jude refers to a popular Jewish description of the archangel Michael contending with the devil over Moses' body. This event is not mentioned in any book of the Bible, but is based on an apocryphal work called The Assumption of Moses. Jude mentions this just to illustrate his points. Jude continues describing the godless men. They speak abusively against what they do not understand. They are like unreasoning animals. They have taken the way of Cain, who out of envy and greed killed his brother. Godless men hurry after profit like greedy Balaam, who sought to gain financially by cursing Israel, but ended up being destroyed in the rebellion of Korah, who refused to accept God's leadership through Moses and Aaron. Jude seems to suggest that false teachers were rebelling against church leadership. They mixed with believers and participated in the Lord's Supper and fellowship meals. Instead of being good shepherds of the believers, the false teachers fed themselves. They resembled clouds without rain, promising benefits to others, but having nothing substantial to offer. They were like fruitless trees in autumn that produce nothing. They were like wild waves of the sea stirring up moral filth. They were like wandering stars appearing in the sky only to fly off into eternal nothingness. They were grumblers and fault finders. They followed their own evil desires. They boasted about themselves and flattered others for their own advantage. Nothing has changed over the centuries. Ungodly men and false teachers with the same characteristics continue in action everywhere, including in Christian churches. What will be the final fate of these men? Woe to them, says Jude. This is a warning of the coming judgment. Jude quotes a prophecy from Enoch the seventh son of Adam, recorded in the apocryphal book of Enoch. Although not being considered an inspired book of the Bible, the book of Enoch was well respected in New Testament times. Enoch foresaw the Lord's coming on the last day, when he will give back to everyone according to their deeds. Considering the presence and action of false teachers, Jude calls believers to persevere in the faith. He writes in verses 17 to 23. But you must remember, beloved, the prediction of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Jude refers the readers of his letter back to the apostles. The apostle Peter announced the coming of scoffers who follow their own ungodly passions. The believers must be prepared not to be taken by surprise. One of the main damages false teachers cause is stirring up division among believers. Jude urges the believers to build themselves up in faith and pray, to remain in God's love while waiting for the Lord's coming and for the eternal life. Besides, the believers have the duty to help those who are in spiritual difficulties, sustain those who are in doubt, and who come under the influence of godless men. Believers shall be merciful to those in danger, snatching them out from the fire and saving them. These recommendations are up to date and apply to us. We do well in taking to heart the advice of Jude, watching out for false teachers, persevering in the faith, and showing mercy to others. Jude concludes his letter with the words recorded in verses 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen. Jude finishes his letter with thanksgiving and prayer. After all the attention necessarily given in his letter to the ungodly and their works of darkness, Jude concludes by focusing attention on God, who is fully able to keep those who put their trust in Him. Only God can keep us in the one true faith by the power of His Word. Our Savior Jesus Christ purified us with His precious blood and presents us blameless to our Heavenly Father. To God belong praise, glory, majesty, dominion, and authority forever. Amen. Thank you for reflecting with us in this study. Please join us again next time.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.